This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the international LGBTI news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It's Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to JJ for the hits and Richard for the latest in local news. Tonight in the studio, it's a full house. Hello, Alex.
Guten Abend.
Ian is here.
Hey there.
Welcome back, Paul, for a Eurovision special.
Hello.
And my name's Matt. This Saturday night is the night so many people have been looking forward to. It's everyone's chance to share their views, to pass judgment, and to vote. Is it the federal election? No! We're talking Eurovision 2019 in Israel. And tonight we'll find out...
Why did Iceland's parliament discuss not being part of Israel's Eurovision showcase?
Australia is a late favourite for this year. Could Eurovision break away from Europe next year?
What the chances are of the USA joining Eurovision.
Really? And loading up the Eurovision glitter cannons for us tonight, we're joined by Maxi Rainbow, US drag queen and host of a Eurovision-inspired YouTube channel. And in a few moments' time, we take you live, that's live, to Tel Aviv for Joy's very own Mr. Eurovision, Michael Pohl.
Plus, in Worldwide Wrap, we'll be talking social media safety in Indonesia. Will Taiwan get marriage equality next week? And gay icon and rock Hudson ally Doris Day.
We would love you to be part of the show. If you would like to comment on the show, send us an SMS on 0427 joy949. Send us an email in the studio to onair@joy.org.au. Call the front desk on 1300 joy949. And of course, live on Facebook for your questions or comments.
Made in Melbourne for Australia and the world. Joy 94.9.
The gayest station in the nation, there's one place that we have to be, it has to be Eurovision. And Joy has its very own correspondent live on the ground in Eurovision in Israel. Michael Pohl, Joy's Mr. Eurovision, joins us live from Tel Aviv. Hi, Michael.
Hello, guys. It's a pleasure to be with you on the ground, on the very warm ground here in Tel Aviv.
Shalom.
Well, that makes us quite jealous. Now, you've been seeing the rehearsals and hanging around backstage with all the cool kids. What are you seeing that we haven't yet seen?
I've seen all the performances on screen as you'll see them on the TV screens yourself. So I'm a little bit ahead of the game, ever so slightly. But other than that, other than, of course, catching up with people, talking about their songs, their stories, what's going on, posing some tricky, questions in press conferences, you'll pretty much see everything else that's important when the whole thing goes to air over the next 3 nights.
And I see that you've already got on to SBS News. So where else are we going to be able to see you?
Oh, look, who knows? Who knows where I might end up? I know I had a chat with the Austrian broadcaster the other day. There's an Israeli newspaper somewhere. I honestly have no idea. I just say yes. I'll be on the ABC later. All sorts. I'll be all over the place. It's very much a circus in that the media often get more airtime than the actual artists themselves. Thankfully this year we haven't been bombarded as we have in the past.
Are there any other Australian media outside of SBS, the host broadcaster, and ourselves there that you've seen?
Yeah. So pretty well. We've got. I've been there, and Alistair Murophile, who does a fantastic job in recording all those press conferences and things that you don't get to see normally, and puts them out to media to use in their own special way. And then we've had a couple of. We've had Fairfax News, the ABC, Channel 9. Join later on, but it's pretty much just been us and Europhile there since the start of the rehearsals, and the other big ones are making their way down as we speak.
Michael, it's Ian here. Now, we think of Tel Aviv as a very LGBTI-friendly city, and, you know, obviously there's a bit of a gay vibe out there. And then we're also picking up a bit in the media here about some of the controversies. Can you tell us a bit about both of those?
Look, Tel Aviv is very LGBTI friendly, and the funny thing is that in just a couple of weeks' time is Pride, so it's a strange, it's a back-to-back, you know, gay Christmas, I suppose, in Tel Aviv, which is a bit strange because there are rainbow flags, Pride flags around the city on people's balconies and stuff like that, as well as the Eurovision experience itself. So it's a really strange thing. Tel Aviv is full of pretty people, friendly people. You can pretty much walk down the street holding hands, at least during daylight, you know, daytime hours. And the beach is a great place to go to just canoodle for a bit. So in terms of that aspect, it's quite friendly in terms of its context and the area in general. But the other controversy is come along politically in terms of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And that one we haven't seen as much of. I haven't seen as much of only because I'm in a bit of a bubble. So the way that I get in and out of the venue, for example, is very different to where the protesters are protesting having the event in Tel Aviv. So I don't get to see that. I only see that, you know, in photos and in news reports after the fact, but there's not been much else going on in public. There's been no demonstrations. There have been no protests. It's been very business as usual in Tel Aviv over this last week and a half.
Do you notice increased security around?
The security is actually, in terms of Eurovision Central, the security is not as high as I was expecting. We actually had more security in Portugal last year than we do have in Israel this year. But there is a big police presence. I've noticed a lot of police just roaming, you know, just to check the thing out, just to make sure things are safe. But other than that, it's very much... they're very behind the scenes. Security in terms of Eurovision is a normal. Like if it was in Melbourne, the same, it'd be the same sort of security. It seems to be quite safe in that respect.
What, going back to the competition, what has been the response to Kate and the Australian entry?
Oh, it's been amazing. Look, when she first got the gig, Europe was a little bit, oh yeah, been there, done that, and not won't qualify, blah blah blah. But then she started rehearsing, and it seems our fortunes have changed immensely. She shot up to number 6 in the betting odds after the jury final last night. This morning she's up to number 5. It's a really strange thing. Of course, you know, hopefully she does as well with the actual semi-final that you'll see tomorrow morning. And that might help her even further. But Europe has taken to her. The reception that she got in the arena last night was the biggest out of all 17 songs that were performed, which was strange. Not because, obviously, I don't want Kate to win, but there's some other really big names in that semi that I would have thought would have got as big a reception, but seems that Europe is liking a bit of zero gravity.
And we're liking it too. Michael Pohl joining us live from Tel Aviv and bringing back all those insights and interviews for Joy's listeners every Saturday night at 7 p.m. here on Joy 94.9. Coming up, we've got the very colourful Maxi Rainbow, drag queen and Eurovision convert from the USA. And before that, this is Zero Gravity by Kate Miller-Heidke, Australia's entry to Eurovision 2019. Hey, you.
Zero gravity.
This is Wolfgang from Conchita Wurst City, which is Vienna in Austria. You're listening to Worldwide Wave from Joy 94.9.
It's a show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight we've stopped off in Tel Aviv in Israel. Send us a message if you've got any thoughts on Eurovision, 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Now, it's just days away from the annual Europe Festival of Music and Craziness. Tel Aviv is pumping and Eurovision bloggers and YouTubers are in a frenzy, including tonight's guest, US drag queen Maxi Rainbow. We asked Maxi for her impressions of this year's competition.
Oh, I am super duper excited for this year. I think that all of the songs are really, really good. And I think that this year, there's been a huge increase in countries trying to send something more original. I mean, I don't know, just something about this year. There's a lot of countries not playing it safe. I think that with Netta winning last year, it was a very unique song, and it was something that was very divisive and something that it could either have done amazing or it could have done horribly, and obviously it ended up doing amazing. So I think it's pushed a lot of countries to send something unique and different.
I know there was a lot of comments before that people thought this was a weak year, but I don't see that at all now, given I think it's very strong performances are coming out of a lot of the countries.
Yeah, I agree. I did see a lot of comments saying that this year was going to be, you know, just not as good as the other years. But honestly, that happens every single year. I think that there's good things and there's bad things, you know, depending on the people. You want to focus on the good, focus on the bad. It also depends on your taste. There are a lot of people that think that if, like, you know, having opera or having, you know, metal music, you know, they don't like those genres. And so because I feel like this year there is a lot of different kind of sounds going on. Some people might not like that. You know, they like more just whatever genre that they prefer. So it also just depends. But every year people, you know, say that it's not as good as the year prior. But I think that this year is just as amazing.
Maxi, sure. As a drag queen in America, how did you get involved in, where does your love for Eurovision start?
Yeah, so I started watching Eurovision in 2016. It was the year that Jamala ended up winning. I just stumbled upon it because I was listening to like a lot of European music at the time, and you know, a Eurovision song, I think it was Lena's song Satellite, which won in 2010. It just came up in my suggested. I was listening to that all the time. And then I finally was like, let me click on this channel and see what other music that this artist has. I found out about Eurovision from that. Then I saw, oh, it's like where Conchita was. I had heard about Conchita when she won in 2014. I was like, I definitely know about that. And so it just like got me into it, and I just started watching it, and I like became obsessed. Just from that, I think I really attached myself to Eurovision because it is a contest that, like, from the beginning, it has shown, you know, diversity and a love for, like, people who are different and things like that. A man won, I think it was for Luxembourg. My knowledge is not, like, that, you know, refreshed, but he won with a song singing about like gay love. And I think that that was like, when I learned that, when I started digging deeper into the history of Eurovision, when I learned about in 1998, Donna International winning for Israel, the first transgender contestant and winner, I was like, this has a lot of amazing history behind it, not just being an amazing song contest, but there's a lot of history to it. And so I think it's like just amplified my interest in it since then.
Hey, how you been? I wonder, do you ever think of me? Say, am I wrong to wonder if it could be you and me? Is it too late for love? Is it too late for love? I wanna know, is it too late for love? I can take no more.
That was John Lodvik with Too Late for Love, the Swedish entry for this year's Eurovision Song Contest, and my personal favourite.
You liked that, didn't
see,
you?
I do.
I didn't mind it. I give him my 6 points for the song, but my 12 points for the looks.
Yes.
Go on, Google him.
I back that. Yes. Yes,
there you go.
I'll be your Denmark to your Norwegian votes to Sweden. So
I just like him because of his talent.
Oh, right.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. You boys, I'm playing the Eurovision skeptic tonight. And
oh, you saw the pictures and you ogled as well.
No. I just thought that was a bit bland. I thought, yeah. I want a bit more excitement than I expect a bit more. I want the dancing grannies. I want something a bit more fun.
Isn't this what Eurovision does? It divides people.
I'll be doing something else when that one's on. So Eurovision, it's not all glitter guns and dancing boys, although some of us like that. There's also a political side to the song contest, and that's what I like. We asked our guest, US drag queen Maxi Rainbow, for her thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think that it's unfortunate that often there are like political issues that happen, you know, when Ukraine hosted, Russia obviously didn't end up participating. And this year, obviously it being Israel, a lot of people thought that a lot of countries were going to drop out. I think that it pushes a dialogue though, regardless, for people to discuss the issues. It really brings it to the forefront, you know. I'm going to be honest, like I'm still not as educated as I would prefer on some of these issues. But honestly, Eurovision pushes me to look into them further, look into, you know, the problems that are going on and understanding it. And I think it does that with a lot of people. It helps bring people together almost by dividing them, because it helps research the topics, understand what's going on, and push for change. Even it almost forces a country sometimes to be accountable for what is going on. So, I mean,
it certainly puts it on the world stage, doesn't it? It puts a spotlight on these countries.
Yeah, and I mean, throughout the entire history of Eurovision, though it is not meant to be like a political contest and it is meant to unify, sometimes it has been used to bring change in certain countries. Again, I'm not aware of the exact year, but I remember in, you know, the 20th century, Portugal used one of their years to like almost start a referendum or something like that against the government. It was like a whole call to start change. And it's been used like this forever. I mean, it's since the beginning of the contest. I think, you know, when you're doing something like this where there's different countries and different opinions between governments or whatever the case may be, you're going to obviously have those issues. But I think at the end of the day, on, you know, that Saturday, whenever Eurovision starts, it brings everybody together still. There's going to be drama regardless. You know, you can't really avoid it. But I think that it really does help bring people together. Like, even me being from the United States, I had a very much like a disconnect almost from like my awareness of just like Europe and like, I don't know. I mean, obviously you learn, you hear what's in the news and all that, but I've really like gotten to know a lot of people just all around the world. And you learn that like, just because of what you hear on the news is not necessarily the case. You really get to know the individuals of these different countries and the citizens of them rather than just the governments and stuff like that. It really does help put a different perspective on each country, I think.
Maxi, you did mention Russia there. They're one of the favourites this year. If they do win and Russia ends up hosting next year, what do you think that might mean for the contest? And I guess in particular LGBT people, because in Russia at the moment there's been many crackdowns on LGBT people.
Yeah, I'm really not sure what it will end up entailing, because in my mind I would think, okay, yes, there's going to be a lot of people calling for boycotts and things like that and not participating in the contest. There's for sure going to be countries dropping out, at least Ukraine. I'm almost positive they would probably end up dropping out. And possibly other countries. I think there's definitely going to be a big conversation about it. I remember even, I think it was 2016, there was a gay artist from Israel, actually, and I'm pretty sure he was like denied entry into Russia when they were doing their tour before the show. And so I think that's definitely going to be a big conversation, because it is something that is going to affect the artist. It's going to affect everybody who is working on the team. And obviously Russia is a big favorite this year, but they're pretty much a favorite every single year, but then they also always have issues with being booed and stuff like that. And there's like a large kind of disparity, I guess, between like, okay, people really love them, but then people also really, really hate them. So I'm really not sure what's going to happen if they do end up winning. But I think that it's definitely going to spark a dialogue between people to, you know, talk about, you know, what they might do. I think that there is definitely going to be countries that would probably drop out. There's, and at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of artists, you know, kind of pushing for boycotts and stuff like that. I think it's going to be way more, there's going to be way more conversation than even with Israel, I believe.
Now, that was Maxie Rainbow, drag queen and Eurovision blogger from Pennsylvania, USA. I think we should acknowledge that there actually has been a lot of discussion about a boycott, and we could talk about that probably for the whole show.
What? There was politics?
Yeah, there's always been politics in Eurovision, but let's acknowledge
why?
Exactly.
Why the boycott?
Well, why the boycott? Well, the boycott really is obviously around issues around Palestine and issues around whether this is pinkwashing. One of the claims has been that this is pinkwashing and this is a big PR exercise for the Israeli government. And then people on the other side have said, absolutely not. And so some of the celebrities that have come out in favour of a boycott include Vivian Westwood, Peter Gabriel, Wolf Alice. And people that haven't been playing in Israel include Lordi, Lana Del Rey, Roger Waters, Annie Lennox, Brian Eno wrote a piece in The Guardian.
I don't think any of the countries boycotted, though, did they?
No, absolutely not.
So they still want to be a part of it. They don't want to let go.
Yeah. And then we've got celebrities on the other side. We've got people like Sharon Osbourne, Stephen Fry, Gene Simmons, Nick Cave from Australia has come out very strongly and said this is not appropriate to boycott. I want to know what our listeners think about this, because this is a real talking point.
I'm not sure our listeners will boycott Eurovision for anything. Let's find out. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you. This is Worldwide Wave. We are talking all things Eurovision tonight and all things Israel. Now, Australia and America are not actually a part of Europe, in case you hadn't noticed, but Australia has a really long history with Eurovision. We asked Eurovision YouTuber Maxie Rainbow her thoughts on Australia's inclusion in this long-running music competition.
Me personally, I don't see the problem with it. They have been broadcasting the show since the 80s. It's been a huge thing in Australia, because it's been going on for so long, you know, they have that history behind it. I think that me being from the United States, a lot of people always ask me, what are your opinions on like the United States joining and things like that? To me, I'm kind of like, ooh, I don't think I would prefer that, because it's not something that has been being broadcast to us for as long. Like for Australia, they have been watching it for so long and they put so much work and effort into the contest. And also a large part of your history is connected to Europe in that way as well. And so it makes sense for you guys to be in the contest. And also, you guys kind of put in like the most money into the contest, I think. I mean, we don't know like the exact numbers, but I've heard like people talk about how you guys put more money than like any of the countries. So even the big five. So like, to me, I'm like, well, if y'all are keeping it afloat with your, you know, money, we should keep you in regardless. And you guys do so well. It's like you add an extra level to the contest that forces other countries to step, you know, take it up a notch, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that there should be no issue. But obviously, you know, people are always so like, why is Australia in the contest? You know why. Yeah.
And Maxie, what do you think our chances are of winning this year?
Oh my gosh. So before the rehearsals, I should say, no chance. There was no chance, because it was just not as like, nobody was really talking about it. There was a lot of fan favorites from your national selection. You guys did a national selection for the first time, but let me tell you, whenever you guys did the rehearsals and we saw the epic staging that you all have planned, Kate Miller Heidke, I believe is how you say your last name, she is on these like bendy poles, and it's some of the most amazing staging that Eurovision has ever seen. I'm pretty sure you're in the top five for the odds or something now. You guys actually have a chance to win, and I think that everybody was counting you out at the beginning because it was pop opera, and pop opera is not something that everybody loves. Personally, for me, is one of my favorite genres, but it's not a genre that everybody loves. But they've added something so unique with the staging. It's hard not to watch that and at least be amazed and to like take your interest and not be able to like watch. It's like so awesome. So I think that you guys have a great chance, honestly.
That was Roy by Bernard Nessani, which is the French entry for this year's song contest.
Do you like that one?
I do like that one. And in fact, their performance features a plus size dancer and a deaf dancer.
But they're not on poles, are they?
No, they're not on poles.
See? That's why they're not going to win.
Our guest is US drag queen Eurovision devotee Maxi Rainbow. The odds on favourite for this year is the Netherlands, which I don't think hasn't been for a while, has it? But Australia and France have been making a late charge. We get to the lowdown on who Maxi thinks will be crowned this year's Eurovision champion.
I'm not sure because I was really thinking, okay, the Netherlands has been at the top of the odds pretty much since the song has come out. But with rehearsals coming out, it's not that they did bad with their rehearsals. It just wasn't anything to amplify it. I'm not sure. I think that this is one of the most difficult years to really tell because top 10, top 5 in the odds, they are constantly changing right now. Italy's going down. Australia's going up. France is going up. All these, you know, it's completely changing. And I feel like that's very unique to this year. I think that Iceland has a really good chance. To me, what makes a winning Eurovision song is something that is divisive and that is not everybody is going to love, at least with these last couple of years. So I think that Iceland has a very unique song. It's something that has never been seen ever in Eurovision, and it is something that is certainly divisive. There are people that look at that in disgust. You know, they're in these like BDSM, like just crazy outfits, crazy staging, everything. The song is crazy, but that's what makes it so unique and amazing. So they're my personal winners. I think that France has a really good chance. The singer Bilal is a gay man who sings in a wig and makeup, and his staging, whenever they announce the staging, he is doing something completely different. He's telling a story of the underdogs, the people who in society are looked down upon. You have one dancer who I believe she's deaf, and then one dancer who is plus size, and both of them have been receiving so much criticism, and all of France has been receiving criticism because of that. But it just shows why it's so important to have that kind of representation on the stage. So I think that they have a really good chance. I mean, Russia, Azerbaijan, Italy, Sweden even. I don't know how they are so high up in the odds, but, you know, they have a chance. I think a lot of countries, it's very open-ended this year, I would say. I think that nobody really knows where it's going to go. But that's what makes it so exciting.
We will all be watching glued to our televisions and devices. Maxi Rainbow, the only gay in the US Eurovision Village, thank you very much for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you so much for having me.
So interesting to get an American's perspective on a European competition over here in Australia, isn't it?
It is.
I think the one thing that I really enjoyed hearing Maxi articulate was the difference in diversity and the celebration of it. As much as there's the people coming out against things, and it is, indeed, Maxi himself said that that's what drew them into Eurovision, was that there was this difference there, and diversity and all those sorts of good things that should be celebrated, and we love celebrating here on Joy.
It's definitely not going to be bland this year. At least I hope not. I'm fascinated by the Icelandic entry. I don't know if anyone's seen them in their BDSM outfits, and they are definitely out there causing controversy, saying things like that Eurovision is built on a lie, and on the one hand criticizing Israel and their position on Palestine, but on the other hand being very happy to be part of the contest and saying that that's a really good thing.
And also selling lots of t-shirts as well.
Very commercial, very
self-promotion. Get out of here.
That's what Eurovision's all about, isn't it? Because it's your one opportunity.
Yeah. So I know I find their stance, you know, hypocritical at best. But hey,
do you get up for the whole 5 a.m. show?
I did when Australia was first in it, and that was, and we had party, had a champagne breakfast thing at a friend's, but. And then the next year it was no. But it is hard, because that Sunday is like you've got to have a whole media blackout, so you can't let any other news unless you're one of these people who doesn't mind finding out the end result before and then still watching it.
I get up at 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
We get to vote. We can actually vote in this semi-final.
But we can't vote for Australia.
No, we can't vote for your own country.
You can't vote for your own country. So who's... Because there's a voting block, isn't it?
Yes. We don't have a block? We don't have a block.
But you can't. I mean, you can't possibly then vote. I mean, there's no Irish entry this year. Is that the case?
It's in the next semi-final.
Well, you're not allowed to, because, of course, you can't vote. A British person can't vote for Ireland. That's just part of the usual.
I vote depending on how good the song is, on the political aspects of it.
Of course. All right.
Do you think having such a high-profile competition, which is very LGBTI-friendly, in Israel will have any sort of positive effect in the Middle East in giving visibility to, be it BDSM groups singing from Iceland or queer artists?
Do you mean within Israel, or do you mean
I'm just
within
talking
the
about
region?
Change within the region. So Israel's pretty gay friendly.
I personally would feel that I think that Israel's already known as a bastion of West. And the problem is, if you can call it a problem, is that countries around Israel that have, you know, anti-Israeli sentiment just use this and say, oh, look at that debauched state, you know, with its lack of moral, you know, integrity and so on. Unfortunately, I feel that countries, conservative Islamic countries around it, just use this again. Not necessarily, but I think in the long term, they see
possibly the success of Israel as being wrapped up in this embracement of 21st century values. Not to say Israel doesn't have its own problems. I'm not discounting those problems.
No, and I think that comes to the maybe my Eurosceptic hat on tonight, saying that there is the contrary position. I think that this is a pinkwashing event. And I wanted to read this quote out from two writers who were writing in The Independent, Hanin Maki and Dr. Hilya Akid. They accused Israel of pinkwashing. They said the exploitation of LGBT plus identities for public relations purposes. So-called pinkwashing is nothing new, but the state of Israel, one of the worst proponents, appears to be taking it to a new level as it prepares to host Eurovision. So there are two really different sides to this debate, and I think that's what we're also thinking about. If this was in Russia, I think a lot of people were saying, we don't want to go to Russia. But because the human rights issue is not about LGBTI rights, then most people, I would say, in our community think that it's not an issue.
But does profile bring change?
And does it bring change? It's clearly part of the meme. It's part of the PR machine that's coming out from Israel is saying, we have great LGBTI rights, and this is what they want to focus on. They don't want to talk about the other issues.
And the power of social media to get that message out too, which is one of the stories we've got coming up in Worldwide Wrap in just a few moments. This is Worldwide Wave. Big thank you to Michael Pohl, the Joy's Mr. Eurovision, joining us live from Tel Aviv. You can catch the Joy Eurovision show Saturdays from 7 p.m. here on Joy. And also Maxi Rainbow, US drag queen extraordinaire and Eurovision queen. Follow Maxi Rainbow on her YouTube channel.
And the messages tonight, Facebook, we have a Gavin, Kathy, Bettina, Elvis, Bindi, and a heap more have joined and interacted with us on Facebook this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
And Brad on SMS.
Thanks, as always, to Behind the Scenes, our podcaster Alex, and Social Media Master Dean, and on the front desk, Neil.
Stick with us. Geeks Out is next with Miranda Clayton and co. We'll catch you next week on Worldwide Wave.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye.
A broken heart is all that's left. I'm still fixing all the cracks. Lost a couple of pieces when I carried it, carried it, carried it home. I'm afraid of all I am. My mind feels like a foreign land. Silence ringing inside. Small town boy in a big arcade. I got addicted to
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.